Well, this is going to be a hard few weeks for Nancy and me because we love our church family. Tomorrow morning, I'll be in Dallas starting my new job virtually. I know. Why can't they let me just keep doing that virtually? Believe me, I asked. I did ask, right? I did ask. And when they said no, when the CEO said no, I said, well, it's really hot in Dallas in the summer. How about I'm in Dallas during the winter and in Boston area in the summer? And he said, yeah, wouldn't that be nice? The good thing is that my area of responsibility covers from Maine all the way down to Virginia and West Virginia and even part of Tennessee. So I'll be making frequent trips, especially with two grandsons here. I am trying to get them to add Germany to my area as well. We'll see if that will happen. But I'm going to do a series for the month of January called Great Farewells in the Bible. And one of the Sundays coming up, we're going to have Dr. Terry Dorsett here. Some of you know that a few months ago we voted to become part of the Baptist Convention of New England, and Terry Dorsett is the executive director of the Baptist Convention of New England, or to shorten that so it doesn't take so long, BCNE. Terry will be sharing the word here, I believe it's 2 weeks from today. And then I am going to finish up this series on the last Sunday in January. And we have a new house being built, and just north of Dallas, in a little town called Melissa, Texas. It's out in the country, and we're going to be on Willow Lane. Is that right? We'll be on Willow Lane, and we'll make sure you have the snail mail address as time comes on. And then, as I suggested to the leadership team, and I think they met yesterday. We're going to pass the baton to Pastor Bafour and the leadership team, and he will be meeting together and deciding how things go in the future and the vision for the church. And the church is in God's hands. Amen? We're excited about that. And so we, as I think of saying farewell, not goodbye, but we're still going to, especially in these virtual days, still have a part here, I'm sure. It was William Shakespeare who wrote, "Parting is such sweet sorrow." Most of us don't like to say goodbye. It's hard, believe me, we're thinking, this is becoming more real now. It's hard to say goodbye to people for whom you care and love. It's hard to say goodbye to family. Over these next few weeks, as I've said, we're going to be saying farewell to the First Baptist Church of Randolph. And I'll be using some of the farewell words from a few people in Scripture. Next week, I'll share with you the parting words of Joshua. Then the parting words of Paul to the Ephesian elders. And finally, I will share with you the parting words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven. But today I want to share Moses' farewell speech with you. Now, unlike Moses, I have not led this church for 40 years. Some days it seemed like 40 years, but it hasn't been 40 years. It might have seemed like 100 years to some of you, too. But it has been my privilege to lead this church for almost 10 years now. Like Moses, God had given me a vision for what he wanted for First Baptist Church of Randolph. Some of you were here on that first Sunday, I believe it was Mother's Day, in 2011. It was about this time last year I was getting ready to meet with the search committee. 10 years ago, we met in January. Took you a while to get me here, but you did. Now, like Moses, I've also made my share of mistakes. I told Pastor Bafour a couple of weeks ago, don't make the same mistakes I make and do everything yourself. So we'll be training. Oh, for the days when the women would keep silent. No, I'm just kidding. And certainly, like any human being, as I look back, there are things that I would do differently as I've been leading you toward the promised land. Not the land of Canaan, but the promised land of being a church that God wants us to be. And like Moses, I'm not going to be entering the promised land with you as much as we would have thought a few months ago before this came up. Almost 10 years ago, God called Nancy and me to this church that is a picture of the diversity of heaven. And we love it. Revelation 7 reminds us that God's kingdom is made up of people from every tribe, every nation, every language group gathered around the throne of God. And I have believed, and I've written and I've preached that we need to see this happen in churches like this, because we pray every week, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I realize there are all black churches. There are all Nigerian churches. There are all Latino churches. There are Russian churches. There are, and maybe that's necessary, Korean churches, Vietnamese churches, and maybe that's necessary because of language issues. But I love a church like Randolph, which models what heaven's going to be like. Amen. And that is going to be something that's going to be maybe hard to find in Texas. But where we want to find that. We want to find that. When I came here, as I mentioned, when Judy came up, my challenge for this church, the vision that God gave me, is that we would be outwardly focused. That we would not be a church that's content for just the people that come inside our walls, but that we would be outwardly focused, that we would care for our community, that we would realize that the church does not exist for us. It's not a country club. The church exists for those outside. And that, to me, is part of going to the promised land for Randolph. Are we there yet? Not completely. And so, when Moses goes and Joshua takes over, he needs to keep, I pray, we'll keep leading in that direction. We need to be outwardly focused. We've done more, as we mentioned, with feeding the homeless and caring for people outside our church. When I came here, when we brought the bread in, it was just for us. Now we've been trying to get that for people outside. The boutique that will be starting soon is for people outside the church to care for their needs. Caring for people outside the church needs to be primary. It needs to be front burner, not back burner. That's the vision of the promised land. But we also need to be inwardly strong. Not inwardly focused, outwardly focused for people outside, but inwardly strong so we could do that. That's why we need to be people of the book. That's why I've challenged all of you to read through the Bible this year.
Amen.
I've started in Genesis 1 on New Year's Day. I was reading today about the Tower of Babel. And I hope, if you haven't started the reading plan that I had in the church email last week, I pray that you would start that. You can just start today on January 3rd. And then if you have time, you could go back and catch up. We need to be inwardly strong. When I came here, there were no prayer meetings. And if there were, we tried from time to time, didn't we? And we wouldn't. But now we have people praying on Tuesday nights, on Thursday afternoons, and then on Fridays. And there are prayer warriors that are even praying this morning for our church service today. And that's part of being inwardly strong. I pray that the day will come when there'll be more small groups meeting at First Baptist Randolph for people to be inwardly strong. I pray that the grief share has also been part of our outward focus. We praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
I want you to know that I still believe in this mission of the promised land for First Baptist Randolph.
Amen.
I still believe in this vision that we need to be outwardly focused and inwardly strong, and a church that models diversity like no other church I've ever been in. Like Moses on Mount Nebo, I can almost see God fulfilling this from a distance. And I'll be praying that this vision will be realized here even more. Amen. As Joshua soon takes over. In Deuteronomy 31, we read that at the age of 20, at the age of 120, Moses told the people of Israel that he was no longer able to lead them. I guess I had almost 60 years to catch up with him, but that's not going to happen. Moses told the people that God would go ahead of them and lead them. That's my encouragement to you. Don't think that any of us are the real leaders of this church. We have wonderful leaders, by the way, our pastors, our leadership team. But don't think that we're the real leaders. We follow the real leader. And we ask you to follow us as we follow the real leader, the one leader. God promised Moses that, and Moses shared this with the children of Israel, that God would go ahead of them. And my prayer for First Baptist Randolph in the days and months and years ahead until Jesus comes is that God will go ahead of you. That's my prayer for First Baptist Randolph. In Deuteronomy 32, we have a song that Moses shared with the people of Israel. We don't have the tune, but we do have the lyrics. The song reminded the children of Israel of God's faithfulness. The song also challenged them to be faithful. Is God faithful?
Yes.
Has God ever let us down?
No.
Never. Sometimes it might seem like it, but his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our ways. God never lets us down. He's always faithful. Are we always faithful? May God make us more faithful. May God make us more faithful and challenge us to be faithful. Moses' last words to the children of Israel are found in Deuteronomy 33. And these last words are words of blessing. A blessing is a prayer for God's people to be empowered to serve him. It's not just God bless you. God bless you. The definition of blessing is a prayer for God's people to be empowered to serve him. Moses' blessing in Deuteronomy 33 begins, and I encourage you to read this on your own, maybe later today. Moses' blessing begins with an acknowledgement of the greatness of God and his kingship over his people. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that no matter what happens here in our church, no matter what has happened, many people who've come to know Christ, people that I've baptized, babies I've dedicated, marriages that have been strengthened, funerals that we conducted, sending people and encouraging grieving people. All the things that have happened gloriously are because of our great King.
Amen.
And the sad things that have happened. We've seen people leave. We've seen people that we tried to resolve conflict with go. There have been sad things that happen too. Believe me, when you try and change a church from dysfunctional, which is what my call was, to a different kind of church, you don't keep everybody happy. Some pastors, pastor before, let me tell you, don't make your goal to keep everybody happy. Don't make that your goal. Make your goal to please the Lord. Make your goal to please the Lord, because when you please the Lord, when your goal is to please the Lord, people who are also pleasing the Lord are going to be right there with you like these people have been. And the people that's goal is not to please the Lord, let them go. Let them go. Don't beg anybody to stay, because sometimes that can be a blessing in disguise. Yeah, you don't need to say amen over it. They might be listening. Good. God is great. God is our King. Hallelujah. Moses also reminded the people that God loves them. Brothers and sisters, if you can only remember one thing I've said over the past 10 years, and I know I've said many things. I know I've used many words. Let me just say, the thing that you need to remember the most is this. God loves you very much. God loves you very much. Like Israel, our response should be to bow down on our faces and listen to him.
Amen.
Listen to him. I loved reading in the Bible plan for 2020 yesterday, how Moses, Noah's story yesterday, how Noah did everything that the Lord commanded him. Did you notice that? Noah did everything that the Lord commanded him. First Baptist, that's why Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't because he was a great ark builder. It was because he did everything the Lord commanded him. May that be true of us as well. And then in Deuteronomy 33, Moses blesses the 11 tribes of Israel. He gives 11 blessings. One tribe is left out. I wonder why. Simeon. Why was Simeon left out? I'm not exactly sure, by the way, why Simeon was left out. When Jacob was about to die, he blessed his sons, but when he came to Simeon and Levi, listen to what Jacob said, Genesis 49, beginning in verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly, for they have killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they pleased. Cursed be their anger, so fierce, and their fury so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel. Wow, quite a blessing for his two sons, Simeon and Levi. Not exactly the kind of blessing I want from my father. Yes, Simeon and Levi had committed murder. You can read that in Genesis. Their father did not exactly give them a great farewell address when Jacob died. Moses left Simeon out, maybe because of that curse that Israel gave, Jacob, Israel. But he did include Levi. Why? Well, first of all, Moses was part of the tribe of Levi. He wasn't going to leave his own tribe out. And somehow God, as sometimes he chooses, he chose Jacob. He rejected Esau. He chose Isaac. He rejected Ishmael. But Levi, despite that curse of Jacob, Levi became the priestly tribe of Israel. You know, there's always redemption. There's always redemption in the scripture. I think all of us would like to experience God's blessings in our lives. Do you want to experience God's blessing in your life? I do. Look at the blessings that Moses gave to the people of Israel. He goes in order of their birth, leaving out Simeon. For the tribe of Reuben, Moses asks for long life and military strength. For Judah, he asks for military victory over their enemies. For Levi, Moses extends the blessing of teaching God's people his law and the privilege of serving as the priests of Israel. Benjamin is called the beloved of the Lord. Moses wants the people of Benjamin to rest in his love and experience his security. To the people of Joseph, Moses asks for blessings and prosperity. Zebulun is to experience God's joy in their journeys. Pretty cool, since Zebulun means joy. Issachar is to experience God's presence in their camps. Experiencing growth and expansion is Gad's provision. Dan is to experience energy and vitality like a lion's cub. Naphtali is to experience the fullness of God's grace and kindness. Asher is to be served by his brothers and is to experience strength all of his days. The blessings of the 11 tribes of Israel. Like the beginning of the blessing, it ends with an exposition of God's greatness. Deuteronomy 33, beginning in verse 26. This is what Moses wrote. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun. Jeshurun is another name for Israel. There's no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, destroy him. So Israel will live in safety alone. Jacob's spring is secure in a land of grain and new wine where the heavens drop dew. Yeah. Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? Hallelujah. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Yes. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will trample down their high places. Now, I believe that God wants his church also to experience his blessings. Do you?
Yes.
Just like the 11 tribes of Israel, God wants us to experience his blessings. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 1 verse 3, this beautiful doxology. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with some spiritual blessings. Is that what it says?
No, sir, no man.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with many spiritual blessings. Is that what he says?
No, sir, no ma'am.
Let me tell you what he said. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
Amen.
Every spiritual blessing. Did you catch that? God has blessed you and me with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God is like a very wealthy father. He has unlimited resources. His bank accounts are overflowing. Every spiritual blessing. Every single spiritual blessing. Now notice he didn't say every material blessing. Oh, how about that BMW? How about that mansion? We're downsizing. We got to get rid of so much stuff because we're not going to be in this huge cavern we've been in these past years. It's not about material blessings. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing, his unlimited resources, because of his greatness, because of his kindness, because he is our king. He wants us to experience everything he has for us. Have you gone to the heavenly realms and said to your Father, pour out this blessing on me? In 2021, I didn't experience the peace and the security. In 2020, I didn't experience the peace and security. Father, pour out that spiritual blessing on me. In 2020, my life was kind of turned upside down. Father, let me come to the throne room and give me the spiritual blessing of joy again. Give me the spiritual blessing of trust again. Give me the spiritual blessing to know that you mean the best for me, even when it seems like the worst has happened. Like Reuben and Judah, God wants you and me and First Baptist to experience victory. Do you believe that? Like Levi, God wants us to experience the joy of his word and the privilege of offering our prayers and worship to him. Like Benjamin, he wants us to rest in his presence and experience the security that is only found in him. Like Joseph, God wants to experience the abundance of a life with Christ. Like Zebulun, God wants us to experience great joy as we walk with the Savior. Like Issachar, the Lord wants us to enjoy his presence wherever we dwell, even in Texas. Those of you telling my wife about the rattlesnakes and scorpions there, please stop. Like Gad, he wants this church to expand its territory. I hope that when we come back sometime later in 2021, especially in the summer when we come back, that we'll see new faces.
Amen.
That we'll hear that the baptistry is filled again.
Amen.
That God will expand this territory. Like Dan, he wants us to be vibrant and alive for him. Like Naphtali, God wants us to experience the fullness of his grace and mercy. And like Asher, we should experience his strength as we all serve each other out of reverence for our Lord and Master. Now, God wants to bless us. God wants to bless you. The question is, do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed? Yes or no?
Yes.
I'm waiting.
Yes.
Do you want to be blessed?
Yes.
Well, how can this happen? How can this happen? Well, like I said, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places available to us. Since the spiritual blessings are in the heavenly places, we got to go to where they're stored.
Amen.
See, a lot of people don't experience the blessings God wants for them because they don't or they seldom go to the storeroom. He said, I blessed you in the heavenly places with every spiritual blessing. Maybe your life is not as blessed as God wants it to be because you've stopped going to the storeroom. You've been going down here. Will I be blessed in my bank account? Will I be blessed in my house? Will I be blessed in my children or grandchildren? Don't go to those sources first. Go to the storeroom.
Amen.
Go to the storeroom.
Amen.
Go to the storeroom. That's where the heavenly blessings are, every single one of them. How do we get there? How do we get to the heavenly storeroom? Writer Hebrews tells us, in Hebrews 4:16, I think someone got it already. We're to approach the throne of grace boldly, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We approach God's gracious throne by prayer.
Amen.
We approach God's gracious throne by prayer. What a delightful time some of us had on New Year's Eve. Praying together on Zoom. Prayer is being in the throne room of God.
Hallelujah.
I've always said that when people are praying, they can't have conflict, because you can't have conflict in the throne room of God. When people pray, their lives will be purified. They will get things right with God, because you can't bring sin into the presence of God. And I've always said that when people pray more, their lives will be characterized by more joy, because the throne room of God, the presence of God, is filled with joy eternal.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the reason we've got so many problems in churches today, churches that are closing their doors, churches that don't teach the gospel, is because they forgot that we need to dwell in the presence of God. And the main way we get into the presence of God is through prayer. And prayer isn't these and thous. Prayer is talking to God as a child would talk to his father. As a granddaughter, as I've experienced this week, talking to her son. Only problem that I have that God doesn't have is I don't understand much German. But God understands whatever language you pray in. Hasn't it been wonderful to hear people pray in their heart languages over these past years? Need to do that again before we go. God wants you to come into his presence and just talk with him and pray. You see, it's in the throne room of God we find his mercy and his grace whenever we need it. And when do we need it? Every moment. Every moment. That's why Paul says to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing, pray continually. Does that mean we should walk around like this all the time? No, it just means to be aware that I'm always in the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
Since God is omnipresent, present everywhere, I need to be cognizant. I need to be aware that every moment I walk in the presence of God. When I walk in the presence of God, when I realize I'm in his presence, I'm not going to do the things that I would do outside of his presence. When I get irritated at someone who's packing incessantly in my house, you're right, it's Bentley. No one. I realized as I was walking yesterday praying, I'm not walking with you when I get irritated, because she knows I'm not going to do as much of that stuff that she does. She fits things in I'll just throw everything in and they'll be broken by the time we get there. When I'm in an attitude of anger, inappropriate anger, not anger over unrighteous, when I'm jealous or when I'm that should be like an alarm bell that I'm not in the presence of God. Because joy and peace and A life of purity exists when you're cognizant and aware that you're in the presence of God.
Amen.
Keep going to the throne room, the storeroom, for all of the blessings God has for you. And those are overflowing blessings. They never run out. By the way, our passage in Deuteronomy begins describing the greatness of God, and it concludes that way, describing the greatness of God. In biblical studies, that's called an inclusio. An inclusio means something starts and ends the same way. And what does that mean in interpretation of the Bible? It means that everything in between is to emphasize those, the greatness of God. God's blessings are not because you and I are so great. God's blessings are because He is so great. You see, what's most important, church, for you in the future, and Pastor Balfour and I were even talking about this morning, what's most important is not who stands here. What's most important is the presence of the one who sits here. Don't take this chair away from me, please. Don't take this chair. What's most important is recognizing God's glory and grace. Recognizing what Jesus did for us. The blessings are just the glorious side effect of knowing Him. See, it's not about gimme, gimme, gimme. Oh Lord, I want this blessing today and I want that blessing. That would be self-centered. The blessings are the side effect of living in the presence of a glorious and gracious King. So, go to this glorious and great God often this week. Find opportunities to pray that will cause doors to be opened. Find opportunities to pray even more. Some of you have taken advantage of many opportunities to pray here, but some of you have not yet. I want you to know that if you want to go to the promised land, you need to be in the presence of God. Pray in your car. Don't close your eyes. Unless you're at a red light. And when you hear the beeping behind you, open your eyes and get moving. Pray in your car. I would say pray in school this week. It might be Zoom school. Pray at the kitchen sink. Pray at lunch. And let's see the Friday night prayer meeting grow. Let's see the Friday night prayer meeting grow. Pray, pray, pray. And you will discover more of God's blessings than you can imagine. Because prayer brings you into the throne room of God. And near that throne is a storeroom filled with every spiritual blessing that God has for you. Amen?
Amen.
May all of us discover more of God's blessings I tell you, I don't think I've experienced every spiritual blessing because I think like God, they're innumerable. Eternal. Imagine what it would be like if every single day, every single moment, we said, Lord, bring me into your presence. And we started sharing on Friday nights. Hey, let me tell you about the new spiritual blessing I discovered this week. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? We start sharing that with each other when we see them. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this truth. As Moses shared those last words with the people, he shared with them about a glorious King who loves to bless his people. Father, we look to you, our glorious King. May we worship and adore you, and may you bless us as we approach the throne of grace boldly. Open wide your storeroom doors for First Baptist Randolph and everyone who considers this their home church. And even for those online, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.